Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, but this is probably the most important episode we do each month. It is the Supply Chain Now radio show. Katie?
Yeah. It is time for Supply Chain Now Radio, powered by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the East Coast, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio focuses on the best of all things supply chain, the people, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day.
All right. Supply Chain Now Radio with me, Lee Cantor, and Scott Luton. How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, good morning, Lee. How are you?
I am doing well. So I hear you got some big news. Big supply chain news.
We have a lot of big news to tackle today, and we also have an outstanding panel yet again for our ninth show. And I'm going to go around the room real
quick. Nine shows. That flew by, right?
It flew by, absolutely. And it's been well received, and appreciate the partnership with Business Radio X here. So our panel today, we've got Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain and Advanced Manufacturing with the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Great to have you. Dave Maddox is our second guest today, president of CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable and senior vice president sales supply chain with Envision Global Technology Solutions. Good morning.
Scott, good morning. Thanks.
Glad to have you, Dave. And then finally, our cleanup hitter today is going to be Elizabeth Vamos, who is with Show Me 50 and the Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you yet again and looking forward to our Higher Performance Minute. So we're going to lead off the show, Lee, each like we do each month, with some top things to know in supply chain now.
Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's three. What is it this month?
So we've got four things to
four.
Tackle.
All right.
Hey, we try to bake in some flexibility. Come on. Number one, with some really exciting news, as we all heard last week, Amazon narrowed its list of HQ2 nominees from 238 cities and regions from across North America to 20. So Atlanta, of course, was one of the 20 companies that was narrowed down to. And based on our strong inside information, Jeff B. says that we're on the short list.
Jeff B.?
Yeah, Jeff Bezos. We go way back.
The richest man in the world.
That's right. Because he's got an incredible supply chain, right?
That's correct.
So some interesting notes around the remaining 20 contenders. So Los Angeles was the only West Coast city that made the list. And Toronto, a growing tech hub, was the only city outside of the U.S. to be included. So really intriguing. Amazon's certainly it's bang for its buck as they kind of go through this process. And of course, 50,000 Amazon jobs are said to be created at this new HQ2. So we're going to talk more with Ben Harris about some of the reasons why Atlanta should be on that short list. So, and I'll give Jeff B. a call and make sure we put our best foot forward too. Number two, so in other e-commerce news, according to numbers from the U.S. Census, the estimate of U.S. retail e-commerce sales for third quarter 2017 was $115.3 billion with a B, 15.5% higher than the third quarter 2016, so year-over-year numbers. So as we all know, e-commerce is hot, and with the exceptional growth in e-commerce, you know, we've had strong double-digit growth in parcel delivery demand. So our point number three in terms of top things to know in supply chain now, according to data analysis performed by ShipMatrix, despite this double-digit growth in parcel delivery demand, on-time delivery rates for the holiday shipping week ending December 23rd, were impressive. 99.1% for UPS, according to ShipMatrix, and 98.7% on-time shipping for FedEx. So not only is it a huge increase in volume, but we're all getting our holiday gifts under the tree in time, right?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing. No kids were disappointed in our household. No late deliveries.
Well, I mean, we start taking it for granted, but mm-hmm. this ability to just go online, see something mm-hmm. you want, you know, press a button, and all of a sudden, a couple days later, it's really there.
Not without challenges, though.
Well, yeah, look, it happens. You know, it's that, you know, it looks like the duck's not doing anything, but underneath the water, it's paddling like crazy.
That's right.
But from a consumer standpoint, it's amazing.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, to deliver To make that happen, because as Dave mentioned, it does not come without challenges. We've got to have a strong, talented workforce to make it happen, right? And we all know some challenges there related to getting new talent and interest in supply chain careers. So I want to finish this first segment on a really neat, positive note. So let's talk about supply chain workforce development. So as part of the APEX Atlanta Skills Gap Task Force, I served with a group of volunteers that spent the last 2 days with over 200 fourth graders. So if I have gray hair today, you know why. But we were talking over the last 2 days in eight different classes. We were talking supply chain 101, covering fundamental concepts and terms related to the supply chain fundamentals. Our main objective with these incredibly sharp students, I mean, scary smart students, at Lockheed Elementary and Hickory Hills Elementary Schools in Marietta, was really we're looking to plant seeds of awareness around supply chain concepts, you know, supply chain community and supply chain careers. So we focused the exercises on the lemonade supply chain, which is neat and relevant. Not a big fan of lemonade, but hey, my wife makes me drink it from time to time. But we also talked about the automotive supply chain and the chocolate bar supply chain to really make it fun and interesting. And I'm gonna tell you, it was an incredibly rewarding experience. And it was really remarkable how quick these young students, fourth graders, not only understood the concepts, but then started to apply them to things they knew. Just remarkable. So this was the second installment of an ongoing initiative that we kicked off last November. And we're looking forward. We've got some talks scheduled to talk about future sessions in the months ahead. So if you're interested in hosting a supply chain 101 session at your school, elementary school, or if you're interested in serving on our volunteer team that goes into schools to engage our next generation of supply chain leaders and practitioners, you can send me an email at evp@apexatlanta.org and we'll get you plugged in.
So you're looking to do this at more elementary schools?
Yeah, we are. We're trying to develop a standard approach so right. we can, so as more quarterbacks get involved, we can use that force multiplier effect. But for now, once a month, once every other month is the cadence that we're focused on right now.
And then come to the South Side, Henry County. I'll be glad to help.
Okay. Dave, you're signed up.
See how easy it is?
Yeah.
I've got a daughter that's in fifth grade. So
awesome. Perfect.
And are you trying to teach the teachers so they can implement some of this in their classroom? Or is this you're coming in as kind of a special event?
Yeah, it's kind of a special event right now, but really it's as simple as just creating awareness. So, you know, it was really neat to see not only the light bulbs go off with the students and see all the hands go up to share and ask questions, but as part of the process, teachers are certainly exposed. And some of the teachers know more about supply chain than others, of course, like the rest of the human population. But, you know, I think on some level, it's also creating awareness with, for that matter, all Americans about what goes on to be able to enjoy this water bottle that's sitting in front of me.
Right.
So, great experience. It was a full 2 days, I'll tell you that much, but it was a really great experience. And, you know, it gives purpose to, you know, that's why we volunteer at CSCMP or APEX or in the chambers. I mean, you know, to make a difference and move the needle. So right. that was probably the best part about it.
Well stated.
Yep. So speaking of supply chain talent, you know, that's one of the factors that makes Atlanta and Georgia, for that matter, an incredible place to do business. We all know it's ranked number one for 5 years in a row by Site Selection Magazine as just that, the number one place to do business. We need to get a turnover chain like Miami to kind of
we wear. Do.
Yeah, let's work. We got to work on that, Ben.
That or a championship belt.
Yeah. yeah, Ric Flair. We need to maybe bring him in as a consultant. So talent is one of the key factors that makes Atlanta a world-class supply chain city. So our first guest is helping to lead efforts to make sure we build on all of our current success in this regard. Supply Chain Now Radio would like to welcome Ben Harris to the show. Ben serves as Director of Supply Chain and Advanced Manufacturing with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning again, Ben.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, I bet you are worn out from all of your world travels here lately.
I have been traveling a good bit recently. Let's see. Started actually in New York to start the year. We had a big New York Stock Exchange event there. I'll tell you a little more about that in just a minute. Actually went back to New York this past week for the NRF show. Their NRF, which is the National Retail Federation, had their big show.
Now, on that note, I was reading about that.
Yeah.
I thought retail's big show was Christmas, but
it is. But I guess because of peak season, they had to pick January just after that. And what a nice, you know, warm place to pick New York in January. And then right after that show, No West for the Weary was flew straight to Detroit for the Detroit Auto Show and Automotive News conference that they have there as well.
Another warm place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very,
now,
very chilly.
What does the chamber do in these kind of events? Like, what's your role there, and what are you trying to accomplish?
It kind of goes back to what the chamber does as a whole as part as their mission. So we do a lot when it comes to site location, when it comes to recruiting companies and also growing companies in Georgia. So when we go out and leave the state, that is something we want to do from a recruitment standpoint. So a lot of companies that are there are, you know, either exhibiting or speaking at the event. And it gives us a chance to get in front of those companies and show that Georgia is a leader from a supply chain standpoint.
Now, what's something that you're doing that at the end of the day, you guys are high-fiving at the bar at the end when the day's over?
The sexy stuff? I would say definitely from a location standpoint. Just recently, we actually had an announcement from PSA, which is a French automotive company, actually, who just announced their North America headquarters here, that they picked Atlanta, which is extremely exciting, especially...
Big news.
Yeah, exactly. On the that we've had Mercedes-Benz, who've actually... they're actually right outside our window
across
right
now. Across the
street. That's correct. That they're doing their North America headquarters here. And of course, Porsche, which is down by the airport here in Atlanta as well. So, and I think the biggest thing to note here is these are, you know, automotive jobs for one, but they're really technology jobs more so is what they are. So it requires a different from a workforce standpoint. Definitely requires a different set of skills for us to do that. And I think Atlanta, from a supply chain and technology, from that that skills set standpoint, is poised for growth in that area.
Now, as we land each of these businesses, I believe the Metro Atlanta team gets awarded a car of their choice from these companies. Is that right?
Wouldn't that be nice?
You got to negotiate that.
You're
right?
Working that in your comp package.
Yeah, right, right. No, actually, it's funny. Porsche actually does have what's called their passport program, which is actually a subscription-based program, which is actually pretty cool if you can afford it, which is you can actually switch out cars, you know, as needed, basically. You never have to have the same car. Mm. So I think that's where really automotive is going these days also. I think
subscription model.
Absolutely, especially with ride sharing continuing to grow. You know, the real competition out there is not, you know, not owning a car at all. You know, to either, you know, maybe just use ride sharing as a whole, or, you know, renting a car like a Zipcar or one of those services for folks as they continue to move to the city. I think I heard a stat out there at the auto show that 80% of the U.S. population will live in a city or a mega city basically by 2030. So,
yeah. Well, let's dive into some of the reasons why Metro Atlanta is such a world-class supply chain city. We were chatting in the lobby a little bit. You know, you mentioned technology earlier. What a great city to have as many technology players as we do here in Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing what's going on here from a tech standpoint. I mean, you've got over 20 different innovation centers. These are private industry innovation centers here in Atlanta. I'll name a few. You've got Boeing, who has one, Chick-fil-A, Coca-Cola, First Data, Honeywell, with a great announcement. They have an innovation center here as well. KPMG. Novelis, another automotive company there, and GM as well. So some
few names we recognize.
Yeah, some pretty big names, obviously, from a headquarters and just, you know, the Fortune 500 here. So I think from, you know, building on that, you know, we've talked about doing maybe a central supply chain type innovation center. And I think we've had, you know, initial discussions about what that would look like. A lot of these companies are already doing that. But, you know, what would it look like for all these companies to have a central place to do that? And again, from an incubation and kind of startup standpoint, we've got over 40 plus kind of collaborative workspaces here in Atlanta as well. I think we actually just heard an announcement from WeWork just now. They opened their second location now in Atlanta just now. Mm. ATDC, Atlanta Tech Village, Venture Lab at Georgia Tech, just to name a few. There's definitely from a startup standpoint and tech jobs here, it's insane the amount of explosive growth we have here.
And you mentioned Georgia Tech, another big factor when we talk talent. You know, Atlanta's home to four of the top 25 supply chain institutions, of course, led by Georgia Tech. But you know, there's great things going on at programs like Clayton State University.
Absolutely.
Down in Moro, Georgia. They've got in fact, CSCMP, I know, will be down on campus with a career fair show, I believe.
February 28th.
Mm-hmm. They've got a very vibrant...
12 universities, a lot of different companies coming down to interview folks. John Mescatero is the professor down there. It's actually a board member for education on CSCMP.
Well, a lot of good things going on in Mora, Georgia with that four-year supply chain management program that they've been building and growing.
Are you seeing that more in more universities, some supply chain actual curriculum that's built around supply chain?
Absolutely. I couldn't tell you exactly what that percentage is in growth, but absolutely. I think
it's 2 million percent.
2 million percent.
But, you know, speaking, it's a great question, Lee, because I think from a certification standpoint, from a CSCMP and APIX and others that offer certifications, because of the growth in university programs, they've had to kind of factor that into the demand for certification. So right. You're seeing a lot of these organizations, you know, create partnerships with universities to offer their certifications as a complement to the four-year degree.
Right.
So it's all a good thing for the supply chain space for sure, because it not only does it equip new supply chain practitioners with the skills and the best practices and, of course, education, but it gives them the education side and the practical side, right?
Now, Ben, is this something that when you're talking to different companies around the country or around the world, and you talk about the workforce, the fact that the universities work so well with industry and to kind of collaborate to create this kind of, you know, it seems like they're really working together to solve the industry's problems by giving them students that are come equipped with some skills that they really need, not just hypothetically need.
No, absolutely. I think the university system has their own economic development partners that we work very closely with to do that. So we're, you know, we always involve them because I think from a workforce standpoint, that is the most important thing from a business attraction standpoint that Atlanta has.
So that when you're having these conversations with companies in other areas, that's one of the first questions they're asking you?
That's exactly what they always talk about pipeline. It's the number one thing. You know, if we talk about Amazon, so we were talking about that earlier in the segment. I think that's the number one thing that they want to know about is can they get the talent here? Mm. And I think undoubtedly the answer is yes.
And I saw that specifically on Amazon that there were certain markets that were eliminated because Amazon didn't feel that they had the workforce
correct.
That they needed.
Correct. I'm sure they'll, you know, a lot of people will come to a city depending on they might be outside the city to, you know, for if a company does get recruited somewhere. But the most important thing is having that pipeline of talent. And I think that really starts also the technical colleges, the university system, which is so important, but also at younger ages as well.
Right.
You know, we talk about STEM education. I think the Georgia Chamber is this morning on NPR was talking about another initiative that's from STEM to STEAM, actually.
Right.
So science, yeah. Technology.
And the arts.
Exactly. Adding arts to the equation as well, because the need for creativity with technology, those are going to be the jobs that, you know, for Industry 4.0 and the Internet of Things, as those become so important, those are the kind of jobs that companies are going to be looking for.
And Georgia is well positioned now with all this film and gaming and music that's happening in this.
And absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Scott?
So, of course, with your world travels, New York and Detroit, you've got a really big trip on February 16th as you come to the joint CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable and APIX Atlanta event, right? Your biggest, surely your biggest presentation, right? But kidding aside, really, we are really looking forward to your presentation on hashtag Supply Chain City, which we'll talk more about in just a second, Atlanta's comprehensive ecosystem. So, you know, we've already tackled a lot of the reasons why Atlanta is such a great world-class supply chain city, but touch on maybe some of what additional information or perspective you'll share on February 16th.
Yeah, so, you know, we always talk about Supply Chain City as kind of the marketing arm, or at least a hashtag that I'd like to, for Atlantans and to use to get the word out around Atlanta from a supply chain hub standpoint. We've got, you know, 16 of the top 25 Fortune 500s run a supply chain out of Atlanta. 12 of the top 20 supply chain software companies have a presence in Atlanta. So we have a great ecosystem here in Atlanta. But, you know, it's hard to show that on a global scale. Mm. So the Supply Chain City Initiative, what I'm going to be talking about in my talk there, will be around, you know, what Supply Chain City is and how can we get, as a community, how can we push that initiative forward to show that there's companies out there who want to join Atlanta, want to open up an innovation center, want to open up a distribution center, manufacturing center, whatever that may be, that Atlanta is the place to do that.
And that presentation is open to all CSCMP members, APIX members, and non-members. The public's invited. We're really appreciative of our the Metro Atlanta Chamber hosting that event from 11:30 to 1:30 on Friday, February 16th.
You've got the registration out, Scott, and so does CSCMP as well.
Awesome. That's right,
yeah, Dave. The registration went out yesterday for CSCMP members to join on that the 16th.
Terrific. And we expect a great crowd. We're using your biggest boardroom. I think room for 2,000 people, I believe.
Always got room for more, too.
No, it's make room.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've been in that space for about a year now, actually. A little over a year. So 191 Peachtree, if you ever have an event that you want to host there, obviously, just like the one that we're doing with Apex and CSCMP, that we do that stuff all the time. So happy to have you.
Appreciate that. So speaking of the hashtag Supply Chain City, let's talk a little bit more about where that started, and obviously that marketing aspect to it. We want to show the world our credentials, be proud of the great city we live in. But talk a little bit more about where that started.
Sure. So you know, it was really an initiative that's kind of the nexus of three things coming together here. It's the talent here in Atlanta, the ecosystem and infrastructure here in Atlanta, and also kind of the anchor companies that are already here, which we talked about, some of the innovation centers and things like that. But I think from an infrastructure standpoint, from an ecosystem standpoint, you've got a workforce here. We talked about the university system between Georgia Tech, KSU, Clark Atlanta, Morehouse, Georgia State, the University of Georgia, of course.
Go Dogs.
That's right, go Dogs. Some wonderful talent that is coming to Atlanta, obviously. And then you've got the physical infrastructure as well. You've got the largest airport in the world here in Atlanta, the busiest airport in the world, I should say.
110 million passengers served in 2016. Holy cow.
That sounds about right. That's amazing.
And you probably took 5 million of those flights.
Yeah, right? I don't travel that much. But now, as far as railroads, we have the most extensive rail network in the Southeast as well. From a port standpoint, the Georgia Ports Authority has that's the fourth largest port in the United States from a container throughput standpoint, and actually one of the fastest growing still as well. So just a great mix there from an infrastructure standpoint. We've also got a couple shows that are coming up. MODEX, I don't know if you've heard about MODEX, but that's coming up in April. It's called the largest supply chain show on earth. It's actually what it's called there.
Combined with the Georgia Logistics Summit
as well.
That's
right.
That's correct. The Georgia Logistics Summit.
April 9th through the 12th, I believe.
That's correct.
Co-located this year, which is a big win for Atlanta.
Yeah, very exciting. The program from Georgia Logistics Summit that they put on is actually going to be part of the program officially with MODEX this year. It's going to be co-located there. Awesome. So really exciting. Great name recognition for Georgia. Over 30,000 logistics and supply chain professionals will be in Atlanta at that time. So definitely mark your calendars for that. And it's actually a free show. So please, feel free to sign up when you have a minute.
Yep. Registration is also open, and you can sign up. If you go to the Georgia.org site, which is the catch-all for the economic development site for the state of Georgia, you can register for the Georgia Logistics Summit, which will be April 9th through the 11th, again, co-located with the big MODEX show, which is supposed to bring in 30,000 folks.
That's right.
Which is great for the city. Well, Ben, kind of in conclusion of this segment with you today, again, challenge, I'm going to take these last few minutes and challenge our listeners and challenge us in the room. What else can we do to really promote all the great things that Atlanta has to offer?
I'm glad you asked. I think as far as, understanding the logistics ecosystem here in Atlanta, I hope I've done some of that today, but also evangelizing that message and getting it out there, I think, is really important to the community. Us creating an environment, a healthy environment for business, that's going to be the biggest thing is how do we make Atlanta as attractive as possible to businesses? So I would encourage you to start using the hashtag Supply Chain City out there for Atlanta, and also the second hashtag of Supply Chain ATL. As well, all one word there. I'm going to be using those a lot to get the word out, as I do tweets and other social media. And I'm sure when we get the word out about this podcast, we will be using that as well. So start using that. Get plugged in the community. Always feel free to contact myself if you have any questions about it, if you want me to speak somewhere. But I think we've got a lot of things going well for Atlanta, and very excited about the future here in Atlanta when it comes to supply chain and logistics.
Now, Ben, can you share a little bit to the businesses out there that are listening to this? What do you hear from these companies in other markets about wanting to come to Atlanta? They wish that Atlanta would provide that. Maybe these companies can say, you know what, if that's a pain that these people are having, then maybe we can work on that.
I'd say the number one thing that we get asked more than anything is from a technology standpoint, and what we hit on earlier about workforce. Do we have the pipeline, the workforce to fill those jobs? And I do think we do, absolutely here. We've made a lot of advancements, you know, from a technical college standpoint, from early childhood education as well, to fill those jobs. And I think that's what companies want to know about more than anything. They also want to talk about some of our unfair advantages that we have. I think is just from a location standpoint. You know, we're right in the middle of where 80% of the U.S. population is within a 2 hour drive. Actually, it's two day drive. So that's big. For us when it comes to being able to service a population that continues to grow, coming to the South and also to the East Coast as well.
So basically our tagline is Atlanta, we have it all.
Yeah. Right?
T-shirts.
No, I like to think that, yes.
we have 80% of it.
There you go.
Well, Ben, thanks again for what you're doing for the city, being a fantastic ambassador. And of course, the collaboration you're doing with the industry associations here in town, we appreciate that too. So thanks for being on the program.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Ben Harris with the Metro Atlanta Chamber. So let's move into our next guest here on Supply Chain Now Radio. We welcome Dave Maddox. Dave is president of CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable. And equally as important, if not more important, he's senior vice president sales supply chain with Envision Global. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks.
So we got a lot of things to talk about with you, Dave, but we want to lead off with CSCMP. I know from an Apex Atlanta standpoint, we are really have been enjoying our heightened collaboration. But tell us about CSCMP.
Yeah, it's been great partnering with Apex as well. But CSCMP stands for Council Supply Chain Management Professionals. Been around for over 50 years, corporate headquarters in Lombard outside of Chicago. At the Atlanta Roundtable, we have 400 plus members. So we're really proud of that. We've got a great team that the chairs behind me for membership, sponsors, young professionals, hospitality, and programs. And so that's one of the big things is we're the backbone of supply chain and logistics industries, folks from all shapes and sizes of companies and all different types of positions within companies and supply chain. We have two websites. The main key website for CSCMP is cscmp.org. And then Atlanta has their own website, atlantacscmp.org. In the cscmp.org, there's a community page now that you can go under Connect and actually look at all the roundtables around in the United States. And of course, you drill down to the Southeast and drill down to Atlanta, and you can find the various programs that we're putting on.
So speaking of programs, we had a great joint lunch event, Martin Luther King Day. We featured
LlamaSoft.
LlamaSoft, mm-hmm. Great lunch event there.
Talked about Supply Chain Network.
That's right.
Supply chain design.
Yep. And also, y'all have got some, we were talking about Clayton State University earlier, February 28th, Collegiate Supply Chain Career Fair down there, right?
That's exactly right. I think I mentioned the 12 different universities are going to be there. We're going to give away some scholarships to those key folks that were nominated by their professors in those universities. And we're going to have a lot of different companies that are going to be there, and they're going to be interviewing folks for positions that they've got in supply chain. So it'll be a dynamic day for sure. I think this is probably our fifth or sixth year, not sure how many years, but John Moscatero is the professor for supply chain down at Clayton State and kind of puts this on and does a nice job with it.
Well, appreciate y'all's leadership. A lot of kindred spirits there and getting on campus and supporting this next generation of supply chain talent. And then March is also a big month. I mean, I don't want to skip over our February 16th lunch event, which we talked about earlier, but March looks like physical product innovation along with a tour.
We do. We've got, and backing up just a little bit, February the 21st, we actually, because of the Wednesday, February the 17th, with the ice day, snow day, that we had to cancel that particular tour over at Kroger at their dry automated facility tour. We're actually moved that to the 21st. And so that registration's out there for those that want to join that tour. It's a dynamic place over there, Fort Gillem. They've got a giant campus of facilities over there, and this is their dry automated facility that we're going to tour. But in March, we're going to work with the Home Depot to put on a physical product innovation. I believe they have an innovation center. Ben was talking about that. So we're going to dial that in, get some more information on that. And then on March 30th, we're going to do the Atlanta Airport Cargo Tour. So that should be exciting to be able to see the largest, the busiest airport, you know, what they're doing from a cargo aspect.
And, you know, that's one thing that I think that's often overlooked in terms of the great advantage that the airport offers, offers the world, you know, the world-class supply chain city that we are, is the cargo angle. Right, Ben?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've seen double-digit growth, I believe, in air cargo in recent months, according to the logistics market snapshot, I believe, it comes out each month.
Yeah, and Atlanta Airport also has a very strategic initiative on growing air cargo right now. So definitely a lot more information coming out on that as well.
So if you want to see that in person and learn more, March 20th is going to be the Atlanta
Airport. 30th, actually. March, we moved it to the 30th, right?
Okay, March 30th. And for the March 30th Atlanta Airport cargo tour or the February 21st tour of the Fort Gillum, the Kroger facility down there, go to Atlanta. CSCMP.org to sign up, right?
Right, or CSCMP.org and go under Connect and go under the Southeast and under Atlanta Roundtable and see tours. We haven't got the registration out for the March 30th. The key thing there is we have to have everybody in line 2 weeks out because we have to go through the TSA requirements.
Security, right. Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, are you looking for other opportunities to do different tours around the state?
Great question, Lee, and we are. So we're looking for very dynamic facilities that folks want to showcase. Mm-hmm. We realize that some companies aren't, you know, part of their rules, they don't really allow that. But then there's others that say, hey, yes, we want people to understand what we're doing and learn from it. And so that's what we want to do, is we want to show people really cool automation within facilities and be able to get those in our tour.
And then from a company standpoint, like what does it require of them typically? Like for a tour, if they were considering it?
So generally, it's just, you know, I realize they have their safety requirements, but it's just information about their location within. It could be in the, you know, anywhere in the state of Georgia, primarily the metro area. We're actually looking at doing a Port of Savannah tour, which, you know, is kind of a full day, get on a bus, go down and do that. But really the Atlanta metro area. And but really, there's no general guidelines.
Is it half a day? Is it a couple hours?
Yeah, good question. So it's really that time period where it's about 11 to 1. And so we come in and kind of network and then give a little information about the tour prior to it, and then go through the facility tour and then come back and have lunch and finish up. So 11 to 1 type of thing.
So no shortage of opportunities to plug in with some of the leading supply chain associations, CSCMP Atlanta. Again, we appreciate the partnership on not just the joint event, but there's an ongoing camaraderie, a collaboration that, you know, comparing thoughts from a supply chain leadership standpoint and more that we really come to appreciate. So let's transition a little bit, Dave, into Envision Global. So Envision Global, for if you've had your head in the sand here lately, is a worldwide leader for global FAP, which, as I learned this morning, freight, audit, and payments, logistics software, and TMS services. It's based here in Atlanta. You got physical offices in China, Netherlands, Romania, India, Costa Rica, all places Ben probably has been to, we'll be going to, right? Privately owned, been in business 25 years, and what I thought was really neat, recognized as a top 100 logistics IT provider by Inbound Logistics for the past 10 years. So y'all have had a little bit of a track record, huh?
Yeah, it's been great. So I just joined the organization in December. I've known Luther Brown, the CEO and owner of the company, for many years. So I'm really excited about the opportunity of coming on board and providing my expertise and working with the team, really in the TMS offering. So that's the transportation management system offering. We call it iImpact. And it's really a global end-to-end visibility tool for shipment execution.
Mm. When you say global, Envision has customers in 190 countries processing in more than 50 currencies. That hurts my head just thinking about that. You're working with 17,000 transportation providers, which is incredible. And you over 100 million transactions annually that Envision's involved with.
Yeah, so our freight, audit, and payment services with the various 250 different customers that we deal with today, we got a lot of transactions going through our system that provide end-to-end visibility. It could be from a manual input or a scanning OCR, or actually going through and executing payment for those invoices and auditing them.
So this morning in our prep talk, you talked about you had a big eureka moment when it comes to TMS. Talk about that big lesson learned.
Yeah, so I attended the CSCM 3 Jumpstart conference the last 3 days here in Atlanta and learned a lot about what's going on in technology and continuing to understand that technology is really the forefront. Really, you need to be getting technology. You need to invest in technology. You need to understand that it's going to give you visibility up and down the supply chain. And what I think I learned the most is a transportation management system for a lot of people. To them, it means it manages your supply chain. Really, as I understand it, it's a business enabler. And so it's a total business enabler because it infects every piece of business, not just supply chain.
And with that, let's dive into shippers' challenges. As we touched on earlier in the segment, and we're talking about the on-time delivery rates with UPS and FedEx, you mentioned it doesn't come with challenges, right? So let's talk about some of those. You provided some factoids to me earlier. A lot of it focused on data, all right? So let's talk about how tough it is to have good data in the supply chain these days.
Yeah, that's a key piece not only having good data, where do you find that data? Our theme at CSCMP this year is digitization, which is all about data. And so the key word for, we talked a lot about a supply chain and folks coming in supply chain. The new word for career word is data scientist. Mm. That's kind of the new person that is coming in your supply chain. They're going to be hired as a data scientist. I believe Home Depot mentioned this week that they hired 6 data scientists into their organization to really understand where the data is, what the data means. Mm. And so, you know, some of the challenges today that I kind of did some research on is 5% of the shippers today out there say that they've got accurate data. Wow, 20% say they have no data, no idea how accurate their data is. And 30.
So how do they function?
Yeah,
not really. Like if you can't, right. If you don't have reliable data, how can you run your business?
Yeah, it's exactly.
They're just guessing?
Yeah, it's a very, very good point. And that's exactly right. I mean, they're really out there just blocking and tackling the best that they can, trying to use bits and pieces of their data, mainly in a manual environment. So really what technology is going to do is be able to grab that data, scrub that data, cleanse it, and make sure that it's utilizing that data to make informed decisions going forward. Artificial intelligence is another big, AI is another big word. And really what artificial intelligence is to be able to take that data and make informed decisions. So, and best practices. So you make the right decision the next time around. Mm. So, because people are always leaving, they're either leaving your company or they're retiring. And so you need to have a repository of those best practices that you can repeat
and transfer the knowledge.
Exactly.
So we need tools, right, to do this kind of stuff. And I was reading that Envision is launching a new business intelligence and data advanced analytics tool, which is going to be a big game changer for your business and your customers, right?
Yes, and we've had business intelligence analytic tools for many years. The speed of the tool, I think, is really the key. And so we're launching a new tool that's super dynamic. I've had a chance to take a look at it, and it's going to be coming out the next couple of weeks. And I think the difference is it takes that data, provides you a very detailed review of that data, and provides it in such a way that it makes sense, and it's so quick. And so I saw 36 million transactions looking at total spend by mode, carbon footprint, return on investment, and take that, get that information in less than a second. I mean, it's just incredible.
Wow.
How quick it comes to you and that you can make that decision. Mm.
And you're doing business in a variety of different sectors, from aerospace to automotive, retail, chemical, gas, and oil. What sector do y'all not touch?
Yeah, so we don't discriminate at all. I mean, we're out there to be able to help anybody in any vertical, because it really data is in every vertical. Mm. Everybody has a need. Everybody has data, and they need help with that. So we feel like we're very, very configurable, very customizable to any business segment there is. Mm.
So back to some of your observations, we were talking about how shippers are struggling to get measurements in place and perhaps the right measurements in place. Talk more about that.
Yeah, and so the key there is making sure that they get detail around what I mentioned with respect to return on investment, with respect to carbon footprint, which is a big piece in business today, their spend of their business today. And so there's just a lot of different measurements that folks can't get their arms around and having a hard time being able to figure out where to capture that and where to get that, and mm-hmm. Once they get it, what do they do with it and how quick they react to make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're working with companies like that and you're educating them, because like you said earlier, that they don't even know half the time the numbers, and you're saying, here's a solution that can help you with this business intelligence, how do you counsel them on the fact that just because you can measure something, is that something worth measuring? You know, like how do you kind of prioritize what is the numbers that matter most in their business that's going to have the biggest bang for the buck?
Yeah, that's a key point, Lee. And I think what we at first do is talk about their pain points. What's their pains today? What's their total percent of spend in their supply chain against their sales and total revenue in their company? Where are their customers telling them? And then grabbing the data from that and figuring out the right pattern, the right path, if you will, to execute against that. And so everybody has different pieces of pain. And so primarily in our business, when it's transportation, it's really shipments that they're executing different modes. And what our system does is it's multi-mode. So it's parcel, it's air, it's rail, it's ocean, it's any mode that they've got, and being able to dissect those modes and make right decisions, either getting the proper rates, routing it, consolidating the freight, whatever they need, and then providing full visibility of that in real time as much as possible up and down the supply chain.
And your system is not a cookie cutter. It's highly customized, it seems, right?
Yes, it is. And one of the things that's key is as we implement our system for each of our customers is we learn from each customer based on the segment of business that they're in. And so we make necessary changes, those customizable and configurable changes for each of those customers. It allows our other customers.
Everybody benefits
from that. And we apply that to more and more and more.
Right.
And
so then you're continually getting best practices and in kind of a industry agnostic manner that can serve each one specifically.
That's right. And Ben will tell you, because he was on that side of the business, you're only as good as raising your game. I mean, and you continue to keep folks year after year or contract after contract because of the things that you're doing to make your system more robust and raising the bar with your system. And so that's what you got to do. You have to do that. And you do that through internal Lean Six Sigma type processes. And we are a Lean Six Sigma company, as well as external helping those customers based on what you're seeing and make those changes and applying those changes to benefit the others.
And you can be proactively helping them before they even know there's a problem because you're learning from different industries.
Well put. Absolutely. Mm.
And Envision's growing. You're adding new talent, seems like, pretty regularly.
We are. I'm actually hiring myself, looking for a senior director on the TMS side. And so that's the offering that I'm in charge of. And we want to grow that offering for folks on the iImpact TMS. We have over 400 employees today all over the world, and we're looking to continue to grow the business.
Yeah, Scott's got some fourth graders you might want to
You know, kidding aside, we might, really. So if you want to learn more about what we've talked about today with Envision Global, or if you're interested in joining the team, check out envisionglobal.com, right? Starting with N, envisionglobal.com. And Dave Maddox, we're glad to have you here today. And real quickly, maybe wrapping up the segment, talk more about the collaboration between CSCMP Atlanta and Apex Atlanta and where we're headed.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. And I kind of thought maybe you'd do that, but I didn't want to steal your thunder. So I'm glad to do that. Scott and we've talked and met now for probably 6+ months, and he really threw something back at me and said, "Hey, there's so many organizations. There's Apex, there's CSCMP, there's Transportation Club of Atlanta, there's work." It goes on and on. And so many of these, we just found out, Scott and I found out, the EDGE conference, which is the annual conference that CSCMP puts on. It was in Atlanta last year. It's in Nashville this year. It's the end of September. Well, guess what? The Apex National Conference is the end of September in Chicago. The exact
poor
same
supply chain plant.
Yeah. And so we do ours 3 years out. I'm not sure how far mm-hmm. you guys go out, but the theme is that there's a lot of organizations that that may overlap, or folks, you know, people in supply chain or any business have a very tight schedule, and it's hard for them to be able to, much less get onto a link or go to an actual organization and spend 2 hours, whether it be a tour or a program. And so, shortness of this is we're partnering. And we want to partner with many organizations to do a collaborative effort to put a program on together. And so Ben and Apex and I are doing the one on February 16th. On April the 16th at SunTrust Park, Apex, CSCMP, and Georgia Manufacturers Association are going to do a digitization small and mid-sized companies. And it's going to be a 6 p.m. Program. And then we're going to watch a ball game afterwards and have a hot dog and a drink. And so we're excited about that. So yeah, we're really excited.
And that's part of what makes, I think, Georgia, Atlanta specifically, special in the marketplace. And Ben, you could probably speak to this better than anybody, is this level of collaboration as part of the culture of, well, I don't know if it's a Southern thing, a Georgia thing, an Atlanta thing, but that's part of our secret sauce, right? When you're going to market and trying to woo companies here, that's part of what they get, is that this isn't a cutthroat, you know, dog-eat-dog world as much as in other markets where we're all trying to help each other and raise all the boats.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think it is it's a unique partnership that we have here. It's this kind of pay-it-forward attitude that Atlanta has, and it's a great thing that we all work together, and that's what makes our ecosystem here thrive so well, is working together on a lot of things and in leveraging each other's knowledge on subjects. So we're happy to have, you know, as many partnerships as possible here where we help each other out. So I think you hit the nail on the head as far as, you know, what our ecosystem looks like and where it's going from here.
That's why we're the heavyweight champions that wear the belt, right? So, but Dave Maddox, thanks for joining us here today. But more importantly, thanks for all your collaboration, your leadership in the supply chain community. Again, if you want to learn more about Envision, envisionglobal.com. And of course, you can check out CSCMP at atlantacscmp.org or cscmp.org as well, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Scott. Terrific. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, so our cleanup hitter today, Supply Chain Now Radio welcomes Elizabeth Vamos. So Elizabeth is very busy. Let me read off some of the things that she's up to these days. So she is currently, beyond being a Show Me 50 participant in different events, is currently serving as the industrial organizational practitioner at Show Me 50. She is currently serving as a leadership assessment developer at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. And she's also a current graduate student and proud Bulldog at the University of Georgia.
Yes.
How do you get any sleep?
Not that much, actually.
We're going to lead off with, as our listeners know, we feature a high-performance minute with our partners at Show Me 50. Elba Pareja-Gallagher is giving great progressive leadership in not just the supply chain space, but the business space. And Liz is on her team, and we're going to tackle this high-performance minute. So it helps us all get better at what we do. So Liz, what are we talking about today?
Well, just kind of tying in everything that we've talked about today that Ben and everyone has covered, we're looking at data. So as an IO psychologist, being a business psychologist, what we look at is we look at data. So we look at organizations and we look at what the problem lies and where they need help. And we talk about creating a healthy environment. So the biggest thing right now, unfortunately, is sexual harassment in the workplace. That's a big topic right now, not only in the entertainment industry, but now getting to the organizational level. So what we looked at, Quinnipiac University poll, they said that of the American women who have been sexually harassed, 69% of it experienced at work. That's a big statistic. That's a big problem that we really do need to address on an organizational level. So the problem is that everyone knows that training and like culture change are necessary for change to happen. But it's kind of like storm preparation. We all kind of put it in the back burner unless it happens. So it's happening now and it's something that we do need to address. So some of the things that, you know, Society of Industrial Organizational Psychologists, some of the steps they tell organizations to create that healthy working environment space for these women is to show your support. So organizational leaders need to show support to the victims and making sure that they have a create psychological space for them and that they're able to talk about what happened to them. These leaders also, number two, need a follow through. So that needs accountability, which we're all talking about with transparency in businesses and holding leaders accountable for the organization. So they really need to be explicit in the expectations and the culture that they have and have a no tolerance zone. That's a very big thing. And they also need to audit their culture. So seeing how other people and how other people interact with one another, you see it on Glassdoor and some of these other places that kind of talk about culture and how they kind of work. So you really need to make sure your employees are happy and there's an auditing culture and kind of see how they react to, you know, situations like this, either severe or not so severe. They also need to look at their policy. So a lot of people don't even know their sexual harassment policy, which is a big issue. So looking over your policy and seeing if you even have a policy and making sure that all employees are in the circle and are aware of that. You also need to provide a variety of training. So not just, you know, at the top levels, but also at the employee level, because a lot of employees feel like they, you know, it's touched upon, but it's not really dives in depth. And that's a really big thing, is having that training. And it all goes back to encouraging diversity, which is another thing. If you have a more diverse working culture and you have a gender diverse, you know, racially diverse working culture, it's going to have a great atmosphere, and they'll be able, it's more likely that less sexual harassment will actually happen if you have that gender diversity kind of culture. And the last thing is really providing meaningful training. So basically, the biggest thing that we talked about, and especially in Show Me 50 2 weeks ago, was that people think that HR is kind of like to protect the organization as opposed to protecting the employees. That's a big issue, and a lot of people see it like that. So, and going back to, you know, making sure you provide like training, making sure that HR knows that they're there for the employees, not just for covering the organization's, you know, all their legal standpoint, but also there for the employees, which is a big thing we were tackling in the Show Me 50 that actually Scott co-led with Elba. And it was a really great conversation. We were getting men and women involved in sexual harassment, because it's honestly a subject that's really taboo, and a lot of people, it's really makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but it should be a topic openly discussed.
Absolutely. And we want more men at these Lean In circles. So, right. So a couple weeks ago, as Elizabeth talked about, we got together the evening of Martin Luther King Day to talk about harassment, and we had a great group, but men were in the minority. And for the next Lean In circle, which is February 19th, the third Monday of each month, we're still determining the topic, but we want to encourage males to come out and learn more and just engage and learn how to be aware about some of the simple, innocent decisions we're making, but they may not be the right ones.
Right, exactly. Just involving women and making sure they're part of the round table is the biggest thing. And it takes both genders in order to move the needle. We always talk about this. You know, we've talked about, you know, creating that healthy environment. You need both genders in order to create that healthy environment. And both people need to be active in the process. And our top organizational leaders need to be in that process too.
Yep.
So that's kind of the biggest thing, is holding everyone accountable for their actions and moving everything forward.
Yep. Now, you mentioned data, the importance of data, and we've touched on this before in other areas. But with so many women experiencing some sort of sexual harassment, or would you say 69,
70%?
69%,
yes.
I'm sure there's a lot of companies who, in their own head, leadership thinks, oh, we're good here, it's not affecting us.
Right.
And obviously it is. If seven out of 10 women are experiencing something, then it probably is right underneath their nose and they're just not aware of it. Is there anything companies can do to kind of get a feel of, is this really happening in my organization? I mean, some of the leadership may not even know that they have a problem as part of the team if people don't speak up, if it's not even kind of getting to their attention. So like you mentioned Glassdoor, I'm sure if you periodically check your ratings in some of these websites and you're seeing like, oh, don't work there. If a bunch of women are saying you don't want to work there, some of the leadership may not even be aware there's a problem.
Right. So the biggest thing is with a lot of organizations, especially the higher up leaders, they're not really in contact with HR a lot. You might have some of the CEOs talk to a little bit of the
They might think, oh, we're I'm progressive.
Right. I'm transparent. You know, I'm great. Exactly. Right. And you have people coming out that are saying it's actually not. So people that are speaking out is really helping. But these bigger organizations, like what we're talking about, they really need to examine their culture. So they really need to go back to the drawing board, even if they don't think they have a problem, making sure that if they don't have a problem, fine. They find out they don't have a problem. But if they do, finding out early.
But how do they go about, like, what are some things they can implement kind of company-wide to get a feel for if there is a problem? Like, is it like, how come, you know, a bunch of women are quitting from a certain department and no one's paying attention and connecting dots that maybe that there's a boss there that's a problem person?
Right. So a lot of it could be assessed through like exit interviews. So why you're leaving this company. Unfortunately, sometimes with sexual harassment, it's so kind of hushed and a lot of it's not reported. So it's really unfortunate. We do have data, but it's obviously very limited. So we look at, you know, exit interviews. That's one of the big things we look at. We look at employee engagement surveys are a big thing. So how do you like your organization? You know, kind of improvement surveys. As a business psychologist, we kind of look at data. We develop surveys in order to really address that.
Because the leadership needs some breadcrumbs to follow to see if there's really a problem.
Exactly.
So let me go upstream here because things not getting reported. There's a root cause there, right? There's probably several, but you know, I was talking with my wife Amanda. We both attended the last Lean In Circle, and I was asking her what is her biggest takeaway from that very frank, positive conversation. And for her, and really for us, you know, it's not being reported. I would argue one of the reasons is women are not comfortable reporting. Mm-hmm. And if you take it a step further, not beyond the harassment piece, but in board rooms, are leaders encouraging women to participate and valuing their opinions and feeling and making sure they feel like their opinions are valuable and equally heard? That's the simple step that mm-hmm. many leaders can take. And I think kind of separating the business side to the personal side, as a father of two daughters, my wife Amanda talked about how important it is, based on that conversation, to intentionally and deliberately teach our daughters and all kids, but especially young girls, that it's okay and it's encouraged. They're encouraged to speak up and share their opinion, whether they see something, say something, that kind of phrase, or just weighing in on a subject. They need to know that not only is it okay, but their perspective is valuable.
Right. Like, so the bystander effect, you know, people passing by and not saying anything is a really big issue with this subject. So that's also another thing that leaders can do. They can encourage a culture where employees speak up. So not just the person that's getting harassed. If you see something happening, the third person speaking up, because it's really hard for someone that's experienced that to speak up. But if a third party speaks up, then it can be addressed and then it will really promote that. So that's one of the other things we do recommend, is promoting that other people, when you see something happening, speak up. And it's been something that has been going on, unfortunately, for a long time. And now it's getting, you know, the attention. But now let's move the needle. Let's keep on going with this. And let's kind of really change at a, you know, top leadership organizational level. So there's a lot of things that, you know, leaders and even employees can do.
And if people don't quit jobs, they quit bosses. And those are some clues here. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody, an area in your company that people are quitting, and especially if they're female, mm-hmm. you might have a problem.
Yeah.
Big problem.
You can't just turn a blind eye to this stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or you shouldn't at all.
Let's make it a no tolerance zone. You know, let's intentionally do something. It's the small things that lead to the big things. And we can start in our homes. And we can certainly start by really, you know, again, oftentimes it can be innocent decisions, mm-hmm. innocent things said, you know, with no bad intent meant, but we just got to be more aware. Going
be
back
conscious.
To what you're, be conscious.
Right,
aware.
And you can't tolerate. Oh, that's just Bill.
That's
right.
You know,
that's the biggest thing.
That's just
thing.
Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Ha ha. Bill's a good
He's
guy.
He's always like
that's
that.
Just
yeah.
Bill.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great point. We need a T-shirt like that too.
Right.
Oh, it's just Bill. That's no longer good enough. It's no longer good enough. So, if you want to learn more about Show Me 50 and all the great work they're doing. Of course, Apex Atlanta, we're thrilled to be partnering with them on our Gender Gap Task Force. Check out showme50.org. And Elizabeth, how can folks reach out to you? Not that you need any more projects, but how can folks reach out to you?
Yeah, so if anyone has any further questions or, you know, wants me to look at lovely data for anyone, you can definitely contact me at my email, elizabeth.vamos@gmail.com. Or you can also look me up at LinkedIn, same name, Elizabeth Vamos at LinkedIn.
Awesome. Appreciate that. And certainly one of the themes throughout today's show has been the importance of technology, the importance of data. We need data scientists and folks know how to use it. And Elizabeth knows how to use the numbers. So
too much
terrific.
So, but yeah, I look at data all the time.
So great show today, Lee. We're going to wrap up on some events we've got coming up. Dave mentioned the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance earlier. They're going to be partnering with us on that Braves event in April. And good news with Jason Moss and the GMA, they're celebrating their 10th anniversary, and they're doing so with a February 1st dinner meeting at the 57th Fighter Group restaurant over in Chamblee. Have y'all been to that place?
I have. It's been some time, though, Scott.
It's cool. It's like a World War II-themed restaurant at the
right on the runway. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So check out that 10th anniversary event at georgiamanufacturing.com. We talked about our February 16th lunch event, joint lunch event with CSCMP and Apex Atlanta at the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Registration's live there, so check that out at the at the CSCMP website or apixatlanta.org. And members are not, and non-members are all welcome to join us.
And we reduce that cost too. So it's a,
that's right.
It's a very fair price. I think we got it like $25.
It's very close to that, I believe.
Yeah.
Very reasonable. And of course, rock and roll star Ben Harris will be giving a presentation on hashtag Supply Chain City and what that's all about and why Atlanta is such a special world-class place. The APIC Southeast District meeting is in Savannah on March 2nd and 3rd. We're going to be featuring a tour of the world-famous Georgia ports and Gulfstream, which has, I believe, 33 different facilities throughout Savannah. So check that out. If you're a current volunteer primarily, or if you're interested in being a part of the APIC Savannah chapter, which is new, you can check that out and you can reach out to me for more information there at evp@apixatlanta.org. Finally, we talked about the Georgia Logistics Summit. That's April 9th through the 11th, georgia.org. You can find out how to register there. We've got to get a direct link for that. This has come up, I think, in the last three shows. We've got to give a very short and sweet URL to encourage folks, like a one-click registration. Finally, I want to thank our sponsors, APIC Atlanta. If you want to learn more about how to plug into that community, again, check out apixatlanta.org and TalentStream. So if you're looking for top talent in the engineering, manufacturing, and supply chain space, you can check us out at TalentStream at talentstreamstaffing.com. Lee, what did we miss?
I think you covered a lot of it, but I want to appreciate all you guys for sharing the information. And Elizabeth, if somebody wants to learn more about Show Me 50, the website again?
Yeah, it's showme50.org. Yeah.
And that's a great place to plug in. And Dave, if there's a company out there that wants to do a tour, is doing some interesting things at supply chain that you'd be interested in touring, what's the best way to get?
I think just reach out to me. It's dmaddox@envisionglobal.com. And I'll be glad to work with them.
Good stuff. And then lastly, Ben, if somebody wanted to plug in with Metro Chamber.
MetroAtlantaChamber.com. And if you want to know more about supply chain, go to economic development and click on supply chain.
All right.
And again, hashtag supply chain city.
And
hashtag
supply chain ATL.
That's right.
Don't forget it on everything you tweet from now on. Want to see that out there. All right. Well, thank you, Scott. I look forward to this every month. Thanks to you, APIC Atlanta, TalentStream, and everybody else here at the Business Radio X family. We will see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.